And so preparation is very, very, very important and very needy because, as I say, it is a complex relationship. When two people come together and bring together varying backgrounds, ideas, values, you are set up for some interesting times together. So we want to talk to you a little bit about preparation. You know, I came within 6 weeks of getting married. I had a dress right after college, and it was the time when you thought, oh, I'll surely not get out of college not being married. And I had my dress, and we had a shower, and all the bridesmaids' dresses were picked out, and just the wedding invitations were to be selected. And I couldn't figure out why. I was just kind of dragging my feet on this one. And there was something missing. There was an excitement. But I wasn't getting any counsel from anybody. I wasn't reading much. In fact, there weren't that many books on marriage. But I wasn't going to somebody and saying, hey, I have some doubts about this. Now, there was pressure because he was saying, I love you. I know I love you. And so as a responder, as a female, that was really, really hard because I didn't want to hurt him. He was a very nice guy going into full-time Christian work. And so, but through my doubts, I was just miserable on the inside, but I wasn't talking to anybody. And because of those doubts and intense prayer on my part, God gave me the courage. And I have to say he did it because I sure didn't want to hurt him. And God gave me the courage to just back out of that relationship. And some of the ladies in my church that had been trying to give me a shower came up to me after that and they said, honey, I'm so glad you didn't do that. I didn't think he was the right one for you anyway. Now, people think that around you sometimes, but they don't have the courage to say it. But how? I may not have taken it well at the time. I don't know. But I thought that was, it shows you what the importance of preparation. I was not prepared, and had I had some counsel, probably I would have seen the issue a lot clearer, or a lot earlier.
As a result of the experience that Sandra had when we met and began to date and over a period of time, we wanted to be very, very sure that God was in our relationship. And as a result of her experience and also what we've seen around here working with university students, we'd worked with them for 5 years in Dallas before we came here, and we've been here for 31 years. As a result of what we saw, we started putting together a course for marriage and over 10 years ago, and we teach this every other spring. And I want to say this to you. We'll be teaching this starting Sunday at Trinity Baptist Church. Some of you are not in Sunday school, and we would like to invite you. Our desire is not to draw people away from other churches, but if you feel like this is something that would help you, we start at 9:15. There'll be a little continental breakfast for you there. Then we'll spend an hour talking about preparation for marriage, and then you will have time to go back to your church for the worship service if you would like to do that. Now, I want to assure all of you, we're not trying to draw anyone away, but if you're not in Sunday school and you could give the spring to preparing for marriage, week by week we'll have handouts for you. We'll try to do some things that we think will be very, very helpful. So we just want you to know that you're invited to Trinity Baptist Church at 9:15 on Sunday mornings.
Now, this is not just for those that are engaged, but we feel like that there's no way you can get ready for a lifetime of marriage in just a few short hours. So this is, in fact, this information would help you well prior to a dating relationship.
And you know, there are some requirements for a godly marriage, and it takes more than just a blood test and a license. And there's a lot more to marriage than just getting ready for the wedding. You know, there's even a book reading, a book that's been written and tied by Florence Latire entitled, After Every Wedding Comes a Marriage. And that's true. And you know, I know with young people at your age, one of the questions that you have in mind is how can you be sure? What assurance do you have, or how can you be sure that you really marry the right person? So, Sandra, would you want to respond to that?
Well, the answer to to how to know if you're going to marry the right person, of course, is that you become the right person. Then you know what you're looking for. You know what type of person that you need. That's one of the greatest insurances that you can have, is that you become the right person. You know, there's something in us that we think, oh, well, I'll just get this neat person in. They'll really pull me along. Well, yeah, but you may pull them down. And so you need to become the person that you are asking God to give you. And, you know, most don't realize that character is so very important. More than marrying a beautiful body or a handsome man, you're going to be living with what that person values. You're going to be living with the way they think about themselves, the way they think about God, about family. You're going to be their goals, their purpose in life, money, how they act and how they react to things, and then their maturity level. And, you know, this makes it real scary because it's more complex. But then that underscores the fact that communication is so much more important than how you feel when that person kisses you.
Now, God had several purposes and design for marriage. And one thing that we see from the Scriptures is that marriage is a picture of how Christ loved His children, the church. And so you can look at marriage, you can look at Christ's love for us and our relationship to Him, and see a number of parallels that are outstanding. The first one I want to mention is permanence. Jesus Christ is permanently committed to us. He has said very clearly in His Word, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's God's commitment to us. And when we go into a marriage relationship, that marriage relationship is to be a picture of that relationship. And so God intended for marriage to be permanent on this earth. And He said, therefore, in Mark 10:9, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. He said in Malachi 2:16 that God hates divorce. And so God wants us to come into a relationship with marriage that is going to last until we die. As Sandra said earlier, some people, right before they get married, they may get 4 or 5 hours of counseling, and yet you will give 4 to 5 years getting ready for a career, and that career will not last as long as God intends for your marriage to last, and that is until death separates you. So permanence is one of God's designs for marriage.
Another part of God's design is companionship. And we see another parallel here, that God desires our fellowship. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1:9, where it said God desires our fellowship. And so he really wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And so He designed the marriage relationship. You know, the marriage relationship is the closest human relationship that you can have. And so just as God wants to be number one in our lives, He doesn't want us lusting after other gods. He says, have no other gods before Me. Then in the marriage relationship, the marriage partner is to be number one.
And in the marriage, the physical relationship is just a beautiful picture of the closeness that God intended for us to have. Just as in God's relationship to us, He knows us completely. Hebrews 4:13 says, all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In a relationship with God, there's not a single thing that He does not see or know. And it's interesting when He talks about the husband-wife relationship. In Genesis 2:18, He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. That's Genesis 2:24. And in 2:25, He says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And so there's to be an intimacy of relationships like no other place that you will find on earth. And now out of that relationship and that physical relationship, the fruit of that is children. Just as in our intimate relationship with God, when we have an intimate relationship with Him, we have fellowship with Him, then there's fruit from our life. They're new Christians, there are things that happen in other people's lives that come out of the love relationship which we have with Jesus Christ. So God has designed us to be companions of each other. He has not designed us to be competitors. We are not to compete with each other. We're to be complementers. We're to help each other and to be companions. Now, let me assure you that this does not happen easily or automatically because we are very, very different. God made us different, and Sandra's going to talk and give us a few illustrations that might help you to see how different we are.
There are many, many illustrations of the differences, but we just wanted to touch on just about three. And this will help you just in understanding the difference that God has made in a man and God has made in a woman. And that is, and one way to put this, is that a man tends to be like a laser beam. He's very focused. His attention is drawn to one thing, and it's hard to break through that. For instance, we're watching a ball game. Very focused, very focused. Honey, what would you like for supper? Honey, what would you like for supper? Okay, a woman tends to be very much like radar. I mean, a woman can be aware that the doorbell is ringing, that the child is about to spill the orange juice, that something's burning on the stove, and she even knows where his keys and his glasses and his billfold is. And so, amazing, isn't it? But God has just made us different. And now, we can hate that, we can, you know, get up in arms about it, but then also we can benefit from that because I can complete him. That doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong. It's just the way it is. And I know our son used to do that. I mean, I'd say, Brent, you know, he'd be reading the newspaper or something, and it was as though he didn't even hear me. You know, but when I finally broke through, he said, it's so hard because you're focused on something, and then somebody comes in and says something, and you just kind of have to shift gears. And see, women don't understand that at all. I mean, not at all. We think, yeah, okay.
Men are more nonverbal than women. What that means, there's not as much verbiage comes out of their mouth. Studies have shown that a man may speak 12,000 words a day while a woman speaks 25,000 words a day. A woman is kind of like words to a woman is kind of like water to a plant. I mean, she just needs words. She needs to be talked to. For example, maybe I come home and maybe one of our friends had a baby.
Derek and Julie.
Yeah. Maybe. And Sandra will say, I say, oh, they had their baby today.
And I say, what was it?
It was a baby. It was a boy, I think.
You think? What'd they name it?
It was a boy.
Well, how much did he weigh? Women are very detail-oriented, if you haven't noticed. We like the details. We feed on the trivia. We're very relational. Okay? And so that meets a need in our life.
Now, men talk facts. You ask a man something, he'll answer you. Fact is, if I answer the phone and our son calls, when I answer the phone, Sandra's not there, the phone bill is much less. Brent will say, how's it going, Dad? And I'll say, fine. And we'll talk for a few minutes. But women talk feelings. Friend of ours a number of years ago talked about having company, and all of a sudden one day they were leaving. And his wife said to him, now they took the suitcases out, helped the people load up, and they drove off. They'd been visiting, had these friends for several days. And the wife says, honey, our company's gone. Now, men, if you just thought that was a statement of fact, you missed the whole point. Well, this man had kind of knew his wife, so he said, honey, do you want to go out and eat? And she said, uh-huh. Now, that's what she meant by our company is left. And so women, many times, guys, it's not that they can't speak facts, but many times they'll say something and it has nothing to do with what they mean, and you've got to figure that out.
Maybe somebody needs to write a dictionary for them, okay? Like, I'm so depressed. That means I sure would like some flowers. Okay. You guys are in trouble. Can't
there are many, many, many more differences, and we spent an hour on this in the class, so, but that's enough for right now. But you do see that unless you come to understand the differences, differences cause many, many, many divorces. When people do not understand that we are different, and regardless of what sometimes you hear at the university, you are different because God wired you up different. And you can give as many dolls as you want to little boys and many trucks as you want to little girls. The little boy will take the doll and go pound on something with it. It's not because of our culture altogether. It's because God made us tremendously different. And you have to learn to appreciate the differences.
Now, what about us right now? What about you right now? Right where you are. Perhaps you're dating. Perhaps you're not dating. Perhaps you don't even want to date. Perhaps you would like to date. Maybe some of you I know are studying about a new facet of all this called courtship. And that's good. There's some books being written about that, and it's very good. But wherever you are right now in the relationship to the opposite sex, we wanted to talk to you just about some immediate dangers that can be in your thinking and perhaps in your actions. So we want to just kind of go down a list and that we put together some things, and hopefully these are warnings. They're kind of negative, but they're not meant to be necessarily, but just some warnings for you.
One danger you can think is that, well, dating is just for fun. At your age, dating is not just for fun, because you will eventually marry someone that you date. And even if you're in a courtship situation, you're going to be around this person, and you're going to be eventually marrying someone that you spend time with. And so dating is not just for fun. It is fun, but it's not just for fun, or it can be fun.
Now, there's another danger in thinking that in the physical relationship that you can play with fire and not get burned. You know, a lot of people, too, are saying, well, they're asking the wrong question. They're saying, well, what's wrong with dot, 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 and fill in the blank, instead of saying, what's right with that? And, you know, we forget that the physical relationship was given by God to enhance the marriage relationship, not the dating relationship. And so, you know, we forget too, perhaps, about that Satan is looking to take something that God said was good and that God created and made, something that was beautiful, and he wants us to misuse it to destroy ourselves. Remember Eve in the Garden of Eden? He took the fruit. It was beautiful to look upon. It would make her wise. And Satan wanted to use that, something that was good, something that was beautiful, that was meant to bless, to destroy, and that she misused it. And so that's what he wants to do with us, and we forget about that, that the physical relationship is something beautiful, and that the reason people our age and other people stand up and tell you, hey, kids, be careful, back off, keep it out of the physical, is because we want you to protect something, protect a future that you can destroy here in your hands. It's in your hands today. You can destroy that future for yourself in a sense by messing it with it today. You can make it not as meaningful later by what you destroy today and misuse today.
Another faulty thinking can be, well, I'm just dating just to have someone. And the idea here is you don't have to have someone right now. For some of you, the worst place you could be is in love. And you know, some have felt like, and maybe some of the freshmen have gotten this idea, but you know, I can say to a lot of people, if you're in school, you're barely making it, barely being able to go to school, and you're a freshman, the worst place you can be is in love, because that's going to cause you problems. And so you need to take some time and give it some time.
And you know, maybe this person that you're hanging on to, what we're talking about here is this, you just want to have somebody in your life. And they're kind of a friend. Maybe you would even call them a brother or a sister or a buddy. But you spend an awful lot of time with this person. And you know, down in the back of your head, if somebody said, would you want to marry this person? You'd say, no way. I mean, they're not going to be, there'd not be somebody that you would consider to be the father of your children or the mother of your children. They don't have the character. They're good. They're nice people, but they don't have the character, and they're not really what you want. But you're spending a lot of time with them, and you're kind of tying them up in a relationship. But it's not something, but you're kind of, well, when somebody better comes along. So be careful for that trap. Also, all my friends are getting married. You heard this? You know what? There's something worse than not being married, and that's being married to the wrong person. There are a lot of people out there wishing they could legitimately and morally get out of marriage relationships that they made a mistake in getting into. And then, and another thing is, this is my last chance. What if they're the last one that would come along? And so there's an insecurity. And I think that was what was playing in my very immature, insecure mind back as I was graduating from college and should have known better.
You know, another danger can be that you have no thought through convictions. You know, if you don't have convictions, if you have a price, Satan will keep upping the price until he finds out what your price is. And so you need to think through some convictions. That is, prior to dating, what are you going to do on a date and what are you not going to do? And watch out. You might say, well, he's a Christian. Girls, watch out for expecting him to toe the line because he's a Christian.
He's got red blood in his veins. He's still human.
And if anybody gets pregnant, it'll be you, not him.
Okay, be careful about this thing of missionary dating. That may need an explanation. But, well, he's not a Christian, or she's not a Christian, but they'll change. I'll take them to church with me and expose them to some stuff, and they'll change. And, you know, there's men have a tendency to think with the women they're dating or getting ready to marry, well, she'll never change. She'll just be like this forever. And guess what? Women change. And women tend to think, oh, I'll change him. I'll fix that. You know, he's got this few little flaws, but I'll take care of those things. There's a little saying that says, and you have to follow me on this one, it says, a maid to a man, a woman to a man, is a vision ethereal. He looks at her and he says, oh, isn't she beautiful? But a man to a maid is a piece of material. I'll fix him. I'll cut out what I want here. And so there's that kind of, problem down in our heads.
Okay. Another problem can be not breaking off a bad relationship because you don't want to hurt him or you don't want to hurt her. You ought to walk around the campus sometime and just look around and see how many dead bodies you find around, just laying around the campus. You know, if you break it off with her, it'll just kill her. Well, you don't find too many bodies strung around. And so if you're in a bad relationship, if that person is not loving Jesus Christ with all their heart, and you don't already know where they're going, and they're going either with you or without you, if they're not headed in that direction, then get out of the relationship and ask God to give you someone who is headed where you ought to be headed.
And then another danger is girls using the physical as bait in the way we act, the way we dress, the way we talk. You know, there's a little saying that you get what you shop for. I want to change that. I want to say that you get what you fish for, using yourself as bait. But the problem is, the fish sometimes just want the bait and not the hook. Okay? So be careful on that one. Your hook, because you understand that being marriage. And then be careful about letting, as I said before, letting the physical get into the relationship too early, too much. Because what that does, it clouds. Here you are, you're over here praying, God, do I love him? But the physical is so involved, you think, or do I just like the way it makes me feel? See, and it gets really, really cloudy. You can't tell if you love that person really for who they are, or if you just like the way your hormones are acting.
Another problem can be not allowing time to grow separately. As I said earlier, before you make a commitment to someone, because girls, when a fella says to you, will you marry me, he's basically saying, will you go through life with me and help me accomplish what I need to accomplish? And if he doesn't have any idea where he's going around in a circle. You don't want to make a commitment to a guy while he's running in a circle. You need to wait until it's obvious where he's going in life. And I don't necessarily mean that he has to know all about his career, but that his heart is set on God. He's going to walk with God. That's the direction of his life. Now, if that's the kind of husband you want, who will take the spiritual leadership in the family, he will pray for the family, he will provide for the family, he will support the wife in raising the children, he will bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you're not going to someday face a situation where you're trying to get a 13-year-old boy to go to Sunday school and while his dad's sleeping or while he's out on a golf course, then you need to see clearly where that guy is headed before you make any commitment to him or that girl. And another one, and this is tied in with that, is not believing God will provide. See, some of you have the feeling, I'm going to have to help God a little bit here. You know, I'm not sure if I really trust God if he'll come through for me. Let me tell you, God will come through for you. And what you need to do is trust him and walk with him and know that in due time, he's going to bring someone into your life. Now, what you're all afraid of, guys, is a lie from Satan. Well, God's going to bring some girl into my life and I won't like her. I won't like the way she looks. Let me tell you, that is a lie. Sometime God's going to bring someone into your life if you trust him, and your socks are going to roll up and down, okay? I mean, you will get excited about who God has for you.
And watch out for getting into a relationship because you're lonely. Trying to meet your needs with just somebody else in the opposite sex. You know, anything that takes the place of God or becomes in your life is an idol. And we have to watch that, you know, that we're just so lonely. Well, guess what? Everybody's lonely sometimes. Even being married, you can be very lonely. So loneliness should drive us to the Lord, not to try to go meet that need in another human.
Another problem can be spending too much time together. That you neglect your studies, you neglect your own walk with God. You know, right now, while you're young, you ought to be memorizing verses. You ought to be spending time with the Lord. You ought to be getting prepared so God can use you in the future. And if you don't watch out, you find when you're lonely, you pick up the phone, you call her, or you try to be with her instead of spending some time that you need with the Lord. So watch out spending too much time together. Certainly, when God begins to bring someone into your life, you should spend some time with them. And a day comes, you'll spend more time with them. And then the day comes, the only way I can get enough time with her is just to marry her. And so you marry her. But watch out too early getting too much time together, because it'll hurt you in other areas. Plus, it will cause you problems in that relationship.
And then watch being a prisoner of the other person's expectations. And that means, like for instance, this guy that I was engaged to, he was so sure that I felt kind of dumb not knowing. I mean, when somebody says, I love you, what's expected? Well, you're supposed to say, I love you back, whether you you know? And you've got to have some pretty heavy self-assurance to say, can you give me time on this one? I'm not sure. And most girls are responders. And so that's really hard for us. But, and, you know, you just kind of, well, you're just into this relationship. And so this other person, you're just kind of nearly married to them in a sense, because whatever they, you know, whatever they expect, you respond to.
And not only was, as Sandra shared, that was he saying, I love you, but he's saying, I know this is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Boy, don't let anybody put that one over on you. You need to have assurance that it's God's will. God does not usually tell somebody else what God's will is for your life. Another problem is being too clutchy too fast. You know, like they're yours. You're living almost like you're married. You don't want that person not being around when you want them around. You want them to always be in their room when you call. And just being too clutchy. That's one of the reasons that we encourage group activity. Some people may call it group dating. That's one of the tremendous advantages of something like the BSU, retreats, Glen Erie, things like that. You're around people. If you're in a Bible study group, you're in a discipleship group, you're around people. You watch them. You begin to see something about their character. You begin to know something about them. You learn about them. And that's very safe. It takes the pressure off of intense communication. It allows you to see their character just to be around them. And we've known so many students through the years. They were here in BSU. There were other students that go out date, just night after night. But the students that were around, they were growing. They were around people. They saw this boy. They saw this girl. Before they ever asked him for a date, they prayed. They gave it time. They observed them, they watched them, they saw the kind of person they would want to marry. And so there's some tremendous advantages in being around people, and especially in spiritual context, and see that if they really do have a heart for the Lord and see where they're going.
You know, we've been here at this BSU for probably 30-something years, and we've seen a lot of good marriages. But we've also seen some real heartbreaks. And the reason we want to share with you kind of like this is because, and we know it's a little bit negative, you know, you can think, oh, they're down on marriage. No, we've been married near coming up on 33 years. And I can tell you it's been great. Not without its problems, but realistically, we can't just walk around saying, ain't love grand? Just get married, you know, it's just wonderful. And without anything, without warning, and without helping you to see some blind spots, which all young people face. And so, you know, it's when we got married, because of my prior experience with this engagement, I was so scared I was going to make another mistake. And so it was hard for me to just, when we thought God was in this thing and the final decision, you know, I thought, oh, what if I make a mistake? I'll not just mess up my life, but I'll mess up his life too. And so it was really scary. And so as God worked in my heart and life, though, he gave such an assurance. And we often say that the day we got married, God gave such an assurance that it would have been disobedience had we not married. But I can assure you that we didn't get married because out of obedience. And you're not going to get married just out of obedience, you know. You're going to love that person. And I love this guy. And it's been great. And we love each other most of the time. You know, there's a few times. but there is great security in a marriage relationship. Great security when there is that confidence that both of you are trying to seek the Lord, that divorce is not an option, that you're both going to seek God. You're going to hang with this thing. And you know the dating, I've heard somebody say the dating relationship, trying to date, is so you get a pattern of, well, if it doesn't work, quit. If it doesn't work, quit. And that probably is not very good. And you would save yourselves a lot of heartache by being very cautious and praying. You're at the age when you could make a decision. You don't have to shop as much as you need to pray and seek the Lord and seek counsel And you can get that right one if this is God's time for you. But God can protect you. And that's what you need. We need protection from ourselves. We're our own worst enemies. Because our human needs propel us into relationships that perhaps are not of the Lord. And Satan is just delighted to mess us up. So that's why we want to share with you and why our heart goes out to you. This is a tough time. We know it's not easy. But we want you to know that our great desire for you is that you would have a godly, happy, satisfying, fulfilling, productive marriage relationship. And so that is our purpose while you're here, is to try to help you in those areas.
Okay, let's pray together. Won't you take just a moment to pray and just ask God to help you to really trust Him. First of all, to become the person He wants you to be. As Sandra said, become the right person. God doesn't like to take someone that's not growing spiritually and hook them up with someone that is. He wants you to both be moving ahead. So will you take just a moment and ask God to really help you to grow and become the kind of person that He could trust with one of His choice people to marry. And would you also ask God to help you to be able to wait for His choice? Father, thank You for everyone that's here. And I know there's some that have already gone through such terrible heartache in their own family because the marriage relationship that You used to bring them into this world was not centered on You. And over a period of time, maybe though they once loved each other, there was conflict and problems and even some divorce. And Lord, I just would pray for these that are here and for friends and others that they have a chance to minister to, that there would be a heart to grow, to pay the price, to spend time with You and with growing and being involved in Bible studies and discipleship teams and going to the Glen and things like this, things that will help them to grow. And Father, I know through the years, Sandra and I have seen just literally hundreds and hundreds of marriages where today their children are teenagers and others, and what a beautiful picture it is because they trusted You and they walked with You and they didn't seek to find in another person what they should have found in You, but they looked to You and trusted You. And Father, You fulfilled their expectations far more than they ever dreamed. So thank You for what You'll do for these people. And God, I know what You've done in my life, the tremendous joy, the meaningfulness, the fun it is for Sandra and I to serve You together. And God, I believe what You've done for us, You will do for these. So help us to trust You. God, thank You for marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.